Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Locke Carriker. He is a professor at Iowa State University and also a veterinarian. Thanks for joining us, Locke.
Thanks for having me.
Now, at the American Association of Swine Veterinarians, you gave a presentation with a pretty strong title, Crucial to Criminal, the Range of Perspectives on Antimicrobial Use in Pork Production.
Yes.
What's crucial? What's criminal?
Well, I think that represents a range of people's perceptions about whether or not we should use antimicrobials at all in livestock production. So it sort of gives you an idea that there are folks that really think they're a critical part if they're used appropriately, but there are some folks who, under any circumstances, really don't see that there's a reasonable use and that they should be preserved and used for human medicine only. My challenge was really to sort of talk to the membership and challenge them to consider that when we're making decisions that there's a wide variety of other perceptions that people might view those decisions from.
Now, you're giving this presentation to veterinarians. I would think it would be very easy for them to say, well, wait a minute, time out. We went to vet school. We understand these viruses and bacteria better than anybody. We are licensed veterinarians. We're using products that are regulated by FDA and USDA. Why should we really care what the consumer thinks? What we're doing is legal. It's ethical. What's the problem?
Well, in short, I think that would probably work if we were the only ones making the decisions. But the consumers ultimately make the decisions. They vote with their purchasing power. They vote with their acceptance of the product. They vote with their influence on regulations and legislation that ultimately regulate the profession and what we do. And so while science is certainly valuable amongst ourselves to form opinions and perceptions of things, it's not always the best tool for helping to form or craft perceptions outside of our group.
And I've seen surveys before that have shown that among consumers, veterinarians really have very high regard in terms of credibility. So I would think that if anybody's going to tell this story to consumers and have it be believable, it would be you folks.
I think we do enjoy that high level of credibility, and it's something that we have to be very careful to protect. And I think we depend, especially at this meeting, on a lot of science to do that. And so we're really we intensely work to maintain that. But I think that doesn't necessarily meet consumers at their level of understanding in every case. And so I think if you take that credibility and you try to meet them in their space with respect to communication and explanation, then I think that's really going to be a powerful mix.
Now, of course, a lot of this comes back to worldwide concerns about antibiotic resistance. And those are legitimate, but it seems like it's run deeper than that, but in some respects it's also become a black and white issue. We have labels today that say no antibiotics ever, which sound pretty extreme. How can veterinarians help consumers find some middle ground on this topic?
Well, I think the truth is always somewhere between the black and white options, right? And so I think helping consumers and others understand the complexity of that decision-making process might be a place to start. But I think also delineating exactly when we use antimicrobials. In fact, the so-called growth-promoting uses or subtherapeutic uses have ended in the United States, and so they've ended in many other countries. And now it's really been put into the veterinarian's care to determine that an animal is sick and make that diagnosis credibly and then choose the appropriate treatment route that gets that animal healthy and makes it safer as a food product ultimately if that's its destination. So I think it's communicating a little more about the realities of the world we operate in and not leaving it to a black and white interpretation without information.
What in your mind, Locke, would be the most misunderstood things about antibiotic use in pork production?
Well, I think the most misunderstood is you often hear reference to antibiotics being used in a widespread manner to compensate for poor production practices or to improve profitability. And the reality is most of our production system evolved due to economic drivers that really related to how the profit from a particular animal was distributed among retailers and so forth. And also a lot of what's influenced our current housing systems was an effort to eliminate bacterial diseases so we wouldn't have to deal with them as much. And we were successful in doing that for a number of diseases historically. In the process, though, we've created an opportunity for different types of disease potentially. And so that's a constant process when you have a complex ecological system where one input has some, you know, changes for the rest of the system. And I think that perception that we're just choosing a production system that's more profitable and cares less for the pig's health and ignores prevention, and we're using antibiotics to fix that, is incorrect. And it's a damaging perception, and it doesn't realistically portray what's going on every day.
So what do we do about it?
Well, what we do about it is we talk about it. We get involved in the conversation. We get talk about it at a local level. We talk about it with our friends and neighbors. We talk about it with our family. We try to help them understand what we're doing. We open up opportunities for people to get into farms and see production and understand what it's about. Trying to exclude people and telling them that we know what's best for the animals has not been a worthwhile strategy, in my opinion. So I think a lot of transparency is a good place to start. And then we want to reduce the use of antibiotics as well. So I think we have to be very clear about veterinarians want to reduce the use of antibiotics as well. Once pigs are sick, we've lost some opportunity. So we're focused on prevention. We want to find ways to exclude disease. We want to find ways to prevent disease, and so that we don't have to use as much antimicrobial either. So we're partners in the game to reduce antimicrobial use. I think what's important to us is getting that done in a mechanism that allows judicious use and allows it to be used when it should and makes it available when it could have an impact on animal health and welfare.
As a veterinarian, you more than anybody wants to be a steward of animal welfare, and antibiotics do play a big role in that.
Absolutely. And you know, every veterinarian here is part of a bigger community besides their swine veterinary role, and so they want antimicrobials to work in those environments. They want to preserve their utility, and so they have just as much vested interest or skin in the game as anybody does, and it's a motivation that we take very seriously.
Back in January of 2017, we had the new veterinary feed directive rules come in, and as you mentioned, any antibiotics that were deemed medically important by FDA suddenly had to get a veterinary feed directive, and that required going through a veterinarian. In your mind, Locke, has that improved consumers' confidence in the way antibiotics are being used?
Well, that's a great question. I think it's a little early to know for sure how that's changed consumers' perceptions, but I will tell you, it's created a number of opportunities for veterinarians to be much more involved in those antimicrobial decisions. And I think when that happens, we bring to those events and to those uses a lot more training and a lot more understanding of what the antimicrobial will do and how to use it judiciously and minimize the use to just what we need to be effective. And so I think in that sense it has been successful in creating those opportunities for veterinarians to be more involved.
How do they get more involved?
Veterinarians?
Yes.
I think a lot of it is you got to be engaged at all levels. We can't discount perceptions that differ from ours and hope they'll go away or hope they remain a small percentage of the group. I think that's a naive approach. So I think we have to try to understand that when people bring a perception to the table, it's not necessarily one that they've intentionally crafted for a particular motive or reason. It's just their subconscious has accumulated information and created a perspective for them to work from. So I think if we understand that a little bit better, it's easier not to be defensive about those conversations. And
now, a lot of these conversations with consumers are on social media, whether it be Facebook or Twitter, what have you. How can veterinarians participate in those conversations?
Well, I think they've got to get engaged in those in those media streams. I think they've got to have an active presence. I think that's something that you see a lot more of and is growing pretty rapidly. And so that touches a lot more people. And there's a substantial amount of research that says the frequency that you hear a particular comment or position and how close you hear it. In other words, if the source is local, it generally has more credibility than a distant source. And if you hear it a large number of times, you tend to add credibility to it. So if it's repeated, whether it's correct or not, mm-hmm. It lends it credibility. And so I think we just have to recognize it. And that's quite counter to our scientific approach, right? We want to use our tools to eliminate the noise and find the one central answer and then provide that for people. But we've got to learn some new skills and some new tactics, and we've got to be engaged in that frequency and locality discussion.
Pretty much have to be ambassadors for the industry.
I think we have to, ambassadors for the industry, ambassadors for our clients, and ambassadors for ourselves as well.
Sounds good. We've been talking to Locke Carriker. He is a veterinarian and also a professor at Iowa State University. Best of luck with your program.
Thank you very much.